Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
The Duke is back. He's in the house. Morning, Duke. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, Cozzy. And we're shaping up for a terrific program on Going Greyhounds this morning. We will speak with leading Victorian trainer Jason Thompson in just a moment. He's got five live chances coming up in heats of the Group 2 Shepparton Cup tonight. We'll also speak with Shane Yates, one of Tassie's leading race callers, about the semi-finals of the Launceston Cup, which will be staged tonight. We'll also hear from David Hobbs about the new track at Kennington, which is fast taking shape. And we had David on the catching pen last week. We've got a grab from him. Feature race results from around the nation in the past week or so. The Group 3 Queensland Cup final was staged last Thursday night at Albion Park. And Velocity Shirl got up in the last couple of strides to beat Smashniak Goal and Norm the Storm in 35.04. Last Saturday night, this is a little bit of touch of deja vu. Last Saturday night at the Meadows, Dinah Double One. Now, we were talking last Monday night how he'd broken the track record at Sandown Park over the 5.95. Well, on Saturday night, Dinah Double One, a dual Group 1 winner, went to the Meadows and he took 7/100ths off Siley Allen's previous mark over the 600 metres, running 33.91. And Dinah Double One will surely take his place in the Group 1 rookie rebel field. And we'll talk about that a little bit later tonight as well. Launceston Cup heats last Monday. The two fastest qualifiers were Fantastic Spiral and Hattie B. But we've got a terrific card at Shepparton tonight. And Jason Thompson joins us this morning on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Jace.
Yeah, how are you, Mark?
Well, mate, you have got five live chances. Doesn't always pan out that way, but on paper... you've got a terrific hand going to the heats of the Shep Cup tonight.
Yeah, look, we are taking five, you know, really nice dogs here, but you know, you can do that, and you sort of go there hoping if one can have a bit of luck and qualify. But you know, quite often you can go there and you know, not strike a blow. But look, they're all well, they're all nice dogs, and I think a couple of them are drawn all right.
In race four, Dalgetty, who's the Group 2 Geelong Cup winner, he starts from box four. He was desperately unlucky at Warragul at his last start, Jace.
Yeah, he was. It was a, yeah, he just sort of used those two runs at Warragul as trial more than anything, getting him back into racing because he had about 10 weeks off when he injured himself in the Silver Bullet. So it was good to get him back, you know, get a couple of races into him. And, you know, he's had a couple of weeks since Warragul, a couple of trials, and, very, very, very happy with him. You know, probably does like to probably be more drawn towards the outside, but, box four, look, he's had a trial there. I trialled him up there last Wednesday, and he's had a look at the track. So even though he's probably not drawn ideal, he's going into it very well, and couldn't be happier with him.
In race five on the card, you've got a box eight banded here. Dewana Result. It's had three starts from the pink for three wins, and it's got a PB at the track of 25.01. You've only just recently got this dog as well.
Yeah. Look, he raced at Warragul last Tuesday, and we got him Wednesday. So it's been a quick transition from, you know, coming here and then straight into the races. But look, he's an older dog. He's got a lot of ability. And speaking, you know, with the owners, Brendan and Matt, it was probably needed a bit of a change, like a change of environment to maybe spark him up with where he's at right at the moment. He's trialling very well, settled in beautifully, couldn't be happier with him. Look, I've done nothing with him but let him settle in. He knows how to race. He's good from box eight. He knows Shepparton. So, look, I don't know what to expect. All I know is that the dog's very, very well. And he's drawn well, and I think he's in a heat where you probably take shared equity out of the equation, and the speed's pretty even. There's not a lot of, you know, real speed. So if he can begin and use that box to advantage, I'm sure, you know, he can put himself in the race.
Race six on the card. You've got Smart Missile down from Jason McKay's kennel, and we know how fast this greyhound is. We saw him win the Speedstar Series at Sandown Park late last year. He's drawn one of the tougher heats, and he's drawn box five.
Drawn shocking. Yeah, for him, he probably couldn't have drawn worse. he's only been down here just over a week. Yeah, he's obviously been here before, so he, you know, settled in really well, come down in great order. Bit of horror draw. He's probably the best thing he could do, I think, is hopefully miss the start. If he missed the start of length, I think that'd be an advantage to him because he could get straight to the fence. And there's a lot of speed out of 1, 2, 6. The 7's out, the 8's very well boxed. So, look, he'll need a lot of luck, but he's a very smart dog. And we trailed him there last Wednesday, and he went very good as well. So, he's seen the track, and he's settled in well.
Black Frenzy in race 7's drawn box 6, another of Jason McKay's former trained greyhounds. You've had Black Frenzy for 4 starts, 3 wins, 1 second, a 24-9 win at Ballarat. He is the track record holder at Richmond over the 400 metres.
Yeah, no, very nice dog. He's another one that's, you know, come down in great order and settled in really well. His last three, look, all his runs have been good. Even when he got beat in the heat of the Warrigal Cup when he ran second, he was probably just one run short and got beat by a very good dog in Shared Equity. He hasn't trialled there at Shepparton, but, you know, he hadn't been to Ballarat either and handled that pretty well. I think he's drawn really good in a sense that I do think he's better middle to wide, probably more in the middle than the extreme, you know, outside. But he's a safe beginner. There is quite a bit of speed in the race, but yeah, he's just so far he's been very reliable out the boxes, and I think he's drawn pretty well in a very competitive race.
Jase, we've got a race coming up at Hattrick in around 30 seconds' time. You've got Aston Bolero in the last heat. He was a Warrigal Cup finalist. 450 is probably his ideal distance, you think?
Perfect. And I think another one that's drawn, you know, pretty well and goes good at the track. So, yeah, no, very happy with him as well.
What's the best of yours tonight in the Shep Cup heats, mate?
Look, I do like Aston Bolero, but I'm really keen to see what the Wanna result does because I couldn't be happier with him.
Best of luck, mate. As I said, 5 live chances, hopefully 5 winners, 5 going through to the Shep Cup final last week, and hopefully we'll speak to you next week.
Let's hope so.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Thompson there, Cozzy. They're getting set for the 3rd at Hattrick.
4. To the boxes, race 3, Liquorland Wanganui Class 1 sprint. Off the inside is Odd Fella, then So Unbelievable, Azure Dreams and PJ Pringles. 9 Atawa Tomo into box 2. Then we've got Petite Joy, Dream Zone, and Ollie Boy, and Ollie Boy's a 2.30 favourite on the tote. Set. Racing. Ollie Boy midfield away, best out here. Petite Joy and Azure Dreams is also poking up and trying to push through. Was So Unbelievable around that first bend. Ollie Boy gets around them. Dream Zone's back in fourth spot with Opawa Tomo. PJ Pringles getting shuffled. So Unbelievable now, and Azure Dreams right back to last. Getting to the front is Ollie Boy. Odd Fellow and Dream Zone fighting out second and third. Ollie Boy wins. I think Dream Zone got to second there on Odd Fellow. Followed across there by So Unbelievable, PJ Pringles, Opawa Tomo. Last pair is Your Dreams and Petite Joy.
8, 6, and 1 for the looks of it. Number 8, Ollie Boy, 250, 190. Maybe the 6 Dream Zone, second, $2. And 1 Odd Fellow, $1.60. Looks like 8, possibly 6 and 1 over the line, race 3 at Hattrick. 21-11 at Sky Sports Radio, going Greyhounds. And one of the other highlights this week are the Launceston Cup semi-finals.
Well, one of the big events in the Apple Isle throughout the years, of course, the Launceston Cup. We had heats run last week, and we have 4 semi-finals of that event tonight. Joining us from Tasmania this morning is Shane Yates, one of Tassie's leading race callers. Morning, Shane.
Morning, Mark.
From the heats last week, we saw 2 very, very fast greyhounds go around in the shape of Hattie B and Fantastic Spiral. They've drawn each other in the third heat. But let's talk about the first heat, and we've got 4 of last week's winners in there.
Yes, Penny Roman, Longview Bell, Sea Blues Girl, and Lynn Carr Jerry all contest the first of the semi-finals match. It's going to be a great clash between them. I'm just going to lean the way of Longview Bell. It's got an outstanding record on the track, having started there 6 times for 4 wins and a second, and really had to pull out all stops last week to run them down. It was able to do that. I think it might go back-to-back and take out the first of the semi-finals. But these other 3 heat winners are certainly going to take some beating. Lynn Carr Jerry likes to be drawn wide, comes up with box number 7 again tonight after pinging out of box number 6 and leading all the way last week in brilliant time. So it's going to be the main danger, I thought. Sea Blues Girl, outstanding record in Launceston, having won 5 out of 6 and been runner-up on the other occasion. And Penny's Roman was another great heat winner last week. So in the first, going with Longview Bill, to beat Lynn Cargery for the two to qualify through for the final.
And plenty of class there, because both Longview Bell and Sea Blues Girls, they were finalists in the Group 1 Hobart 1000.
Yes, and both ran out of their socks through the series. So just thought Sea Blues Girl going out to box number 6 could be a little bit of a problem for it, because it does best from box number 1. It's run 29.61, and that was last week in the heats, beating Bassett by 6.5. But I think going out to box number 6 could be the problem for it, although she's a very exciting greyhound for Pat Ryan. But Longview Bill just has that all-round ability, and I think it might be the way to go for Graham Moat in the first of the semis.
Gee, Breaker's Tip has been a terrific greyhound for the Faye Kennel. He continues to stand up in big events down, particularly in the Apple Isle, and he performs so well, whether it's a circle track, whether it's a big one-turn track. He's drawn box 3 in the second semi-final, Shane.
And he's certainly the one to beat, Mark, that's for sure. It's had 16 starts in Launceston for 12 wins, a second and 3/3. And that second was last year behind Brad Hill Billy in the Cup, led around the corner and was run down the last couple of strides. So an outstanding record, 29.46, its best. That was back in August of last year. Ran 29.82, leading all the way last week in the heat. Looked as if Nick Matador was going to get it, turning for home in the heat, but kicked away in the last 50 metres to win by a length and a half. Breaker's Tip, an outstanding greyhound. And that time last week of 29.82 in this particular semi-final is going to hold up pretty well. Thought the value runners, Lachine, Bassett and Joffers, me mate. Lachine chased home Hattie B in the quickest of the heats last week. And don't be surprised to see it run a good race, number 2 for Mick Louth. Bassett, the youngest greyhound in the field for Butch Deverell. Butch knows how to train a winner by 13 black from Millie Grace. It's a $21 chance approximately in the pre-post market today. It'll start from box number 5, but ran a tremendous second behind Sea Blues Girl in the heat last week. And Joffers, me mate, ran on strongly to be only beaten 2 lengths by Longview Bell. So if we're tipping Longview Bell in the first semi, Joffers, me mate's got to be right there to qualify in the second semi. But Breaker's Tip certainly looks like one of the greyhounds to make it through to the final, and if so, we'll have the chance to atone for last year's narrow defeat.
I have to tell you, Shane, I nearly fell off my chair last week. I was at home watching one of the heats, and I'd taken $2.90 about Fantastic Spiral in the afternoon, and as they're parading at the boxes, he's out to $4.40 with fixed odds. He started from box 4 on that occasion, and first up at the track, he ran 29.38. He moves to box 7 tonight. Of course, he is a Group 1 winner, winning the Dapto Megastar. This is a terrific race, but because you've got Fantastic Spiral in box 7 and Hattie B, who ran 29.32. She is drawn directly outside him. What did you make of these two greyhounds through the heats last week?
Well, I was a bit like you, Mark. I counted its legs on the way to the boxes, because at that sort of price, I thought it must have lost one on the trip somewhere, but it was a super run. Went straight to the front from box number 4 and left them standing. And the one running away by 9 lengths, running 29.38, and looked certain to be the fastest of the heats. And then Hattie B came out in the next and ran a length quicker. It started from box number 1 on that occasion. Fantastic Spiral was in box number 4. Those boxes changed tonight. Fantastic Spiral goes to the 7 and Hattie B off the track in box number 8. They look like fighting out the finish. I'm going the way of Fantastic Spiral to beat Hattie B. Supreme, it seems, ran favourite in the race that we were talking about last week and was lucky to qualify for the semis, running 4th behind Fantastic Spiral after being very slowly away from box number 1. It goes to box number 6. Has to be a sneaky chance. And Retail Chart might be the blowout greyhound from box number 3 if there's any trouble for the runners out wide on the track. It's a Basia Bale, Miss Raven knows runner who's won 4 out of 8 on the track and gone 29.56 as his best. So it might be a sneaky place chance for us. But 7 and 8, certainly on their times last week, looked like fighting it out and just leading the way of Fantastic Spiral in the third of the semis.
The last of the semi-finals, Tacoma Emily last week had box number 1. She's a Group 1 Hobart 1000 finalist, actually ran 3rd in that event. She's drawn box 2 tonight, but Lemon Sunrise moves from the 7 to the 1. These two greyhounds, they appear to be the early pace in the race and they could well fight it out.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting race. I'm going to throw in Katie Roman out wide as well, Mark. It ran 2nd behind Tacoma Emily last week, only beaten a neck, and it took Tacoma Emily all of the 515 metres to get the upper hand over Katie Roman. And next Matador chased home Breaker's Tip in good style as well. So I think they're the 4, but Tacoma Emily, having won 3 out of 6 and gone 29.66 last week, is certainly going to be very hard to beat from box number 2. But a big opinion of Lemon Sunrise, who ran 3rd behind Lynn Cargery. It's won 4 out of 8 on the track and just seems to be able to find a way to win when it looks as if a win's impossible. Next Matador, a winner of 4 from 12 for Rod Ransley in Launceston, and gone 29.54 in the past. ran a tremendous race and went second to Breakers Tip. Really kept the favourite honest last week. Went around at $7. And the other one, Katie Roman, as I say, set the pace, and Tacoma Emily took a mighty effort to run it down. So I think they're the four in the last of the semis. Tacoma Emily, though, drawn close to the fence, looks the way to go.
Shane, we only saw a couple of mainland greyhounds head to Tassie for this series, and the problem being is that it is a three-week series. Do you think they need to look at revising this, or is it something that it's a local race and it's there for the locals?
Well, it's been revised back to the three-week series, Mark. There's been heats and final for a long time until very, very recently. So I think the clubs decided to go back to the 3 weeks rather than the two. It is a problem for the travellers, that's for sure. But I think with the semi-finals and the final, it builds up some atmosphere over the 3 weeks. So personally, I like it the way it is over the 3 weeks. I think heat and final, I think it's gone too quickly. I think for the local Greyhound fans, they get a chance to really build up through the series. So personally, I like it. I can see the problems with it. It's a real 50-50 situation to make a decision on. But it used to be the heat and the final, and they've changed it back to heat, semi-final and final. So I think they'll stick with this for a while.
Okay. What's your best tonight, mate?
Well, I think Fantastic Spiral can win that semi. And just looking for one earlier in the night, Fantastic Polar looks the way to go for Mick Stringer in the first race, one number six.
Gee, he was impressive at Hobart over the 5.95 on Thursday night.
Yeah, beat Monster Red in pretty good style the week before as well. So I think Fantastic Polar for Mick. And Jason Fletcher, of course, has got the favourite in the third of the semis, is the way to go. So we'll get the money early.
Good calling, mate.
Good on you. Thanks, mate.
There we go, the Duke, looking at Lonnie. Now it is 12 to 11, Sky Sports Radio.
Melbourne Premier defines Inglis excellence. For the love, for the thrill, for the success. The Inglis Premier yearling sale, 28th of February to 2nd of March 2016 at Oaklands, Melbourne. Catalogue available now at inglis.com.au.
John Yule Mazda is celebrating 25 years as a Mazda dealer. To mark the occasion, my mates have unbeatable deals across the entire Mazda range, with great drive-away specials, free accessories on selected models, and a bunch of ex-demo models priced to clear. Plus, purchase any new car from John Yule Mazda during the sale for a chance to win $25,000 cash. Take advantage of these incredible offers today. See John Yule Mazda, O'Riordan Street, Alexandria, or johnyulemazda.com.au. DL395.
Sky Sports Radio and Racing New South Wales are set to combine to bring you the very best in country racing. Starting Saturday, February 20, Sky Sports Radio covers the country championships from all angles. Goulburn and Scone commence the qualifiers that culminate with the $400,000 country championship final at Randwick on April 2. Hear all the country championship racing on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to Going Greyhounds.
10 to 11, back with the Duke.
Thanks, Cozzy. Well, the group racing season is well and truly underway, even though we're only at the 8th of February. And coming up on February the 20th, it kicks off a big three-week race series at the Meadows. It's the $1.2 million Sky Racing Carnival. On February the 20th, we'll have the Group 1 Tem Lee for the sprinters over the 5.25, the Group 1 Rookie Rebel over the 600 metres, and the Group 1 Zoom Top over the 725-metre trip there. And on February the 27th, we have heats of the Group 1 Australian Cup and also the Superstars, and then Saturday, March the 5th. That is the Piste de Resistance with a final of both of those events, $250,000. Thank you very much. Going to the winner of the Group 1 Australian Cup. Now, the fields for both of those invitation events, they'll be announced on, or for the three of the invitation events, they will be announced on the Catching Pen tomorrow night. And it's shaping up with more than 70 of the best greyhounds in Australia nominated or invited for these three races, including a couple of Kiwis. Shandell has been offered an invitation into the Group 1 Zoom Top, and Dinah Vickers, it's been offered an invitation into the Group 1 Tem Lee. So it'll be interesting to see if the Kiwi greyhounds come back across the ditch and contest these big races and how they measure up. And Dinah Vickers, of course, is bred by the Wheeler family and is a high-class greyhound, having won four Group 1 events in New Zealand. And this time last year, we saw Mibro Fabio and Space Star take out the Group 1 Perth Cup and also the Group 1 Sky Racing Galaxy. They then went to the Meadows, and they took out the Tam Lee and also the Zoom Top. So that's just on 12 months ago, shortly after that Perth Cup meeting was held. Kennington went into recess and the track was basically dismantled, and a new track is currently being built. Last week on the Catching Pen, we had Greyhounds WA CEO David Hobbs on to give us an update in regards to Kennington. And the first question I asked him was, what was the difference, or what is the difference between the old Kennington track and the new track that they're building? Cozzy, it's a carnival, particularly that Perth Cup. That's, you know, as I said, we're talking about the Launceston Cup, a three-week series. Interstate trainers, they just can't afford to be away from their kennels for that long. Whereas you'll find a lot of the big-name trainers, they will make that trek across the Nullarbor for the Perth Cup series. But, you know, the prize money is so rich, $140,000 for the Group 1 Perth Cup. But this new track at Kennington, it looks absolute top class, and hopefully it'll be a blueprint for other clubs, particularly in New South Wales, if they're looking to you know, build centres of excellence, which is part of the Joint Working Group's recommendation, that this can be a blueprint. They've got state-of-the-art kennels, as David Hobbs was just saying, with security swipe-ins. It is a purpose-built arena. Gone are the days of building a track like Wentworth Park or a grandstand such as Wentworth Park does have, and it's never ever filled. I mean, you're better off to build a smaller function area that you can then you know, hire out to community groups as far as running functions and that are concerned. So it's a real boon for the participants in WA, and of course Mandurah, they've done a terrific job there to take up the slack with all that racing that's gone from Kennington. Mandurah's filled the breach, and they've filled it remarkably well. So we're really looking forward to the opening of that new Kennington track, as Dave said, hopefully in late March. We'll be over there in mid-April for the Perth Cup series. So, yeah, it's a real plus for greyhound racing participants in WA.
Yeah, good news, isn't it?
It certainly is, mate. And again, as I said, I think it's something that statutory bodies around Australia can look at, because this is a real purpose-built arena. The last one that probably was built in similar circumstances was the Meadows. And, well, we know what a success the Meadows is.
All right, now race four at Hattrick. They're about to load here. Late scratching three, Corbin Marcy. Also out 9 and 10. The favourite, the two, Opawa Amber. 280-104.
As I say, you would have to say that they've both been racing solidly enough, and especially their most recent performances last Wednesday.
Thank you,
Jake. Nehan Bushnecki dead hitting with Pacific Sunrise in behind Alamein Blonde there in the 30-80. Got the all clear through here for race four. It's the Aeon CPF Class 1 over 520 metres. Candid Angel off the inside. Box 3 vacant with a late scratching of the three earlier. Gold Road Pacific Sunrise and up in 7 there, rubbed out. Second line here. Opawa Amber. Millie Rivers the blue. Bernie's Boy the green. And Homebush Naki the pink, the outside. Ready to go for a new treble. It's race four here at Hattrick Raceway. There now. And racing Opawa Amber out nicely there with Bernie's Boy going hard early. Is followed through by Rubbed Out, then Candid Angel, the inside midfield early. Homebush Naki next around. Followed next to last there by Pacific Sunrise, who was awkward round that bend. And Millie Rivers back to last. Bernie's Boy in front by three lengths on Candid Angel. Opawa Amber followed through there by Rubbed Out. Behind them was Homebush Naki. Millie Rivers starting to wind up with Pacific Sunrise, but they're a long way from Bernie's Boy, who turns first by three on Candid Angel. Opawa Amber in a battle for third. Six beats the one. Charging to third, Pacific Sunrise. Opawa Amber was fourth to go by. Right with them, we had Millie Rivers and Rubbed Out and Homebush Naki at the backy.
615 there, number six. Bernie's Boy, 880, $1.90. One Candid Angel, 140. And five, Pacific Sunrise, 190. Three was a late scratching there, Dick.
Thanks, Cozzy. Greyhound Racing New South Wales has released its first ever industry supervision strategy. It's pretty hard to say with all the S's, isn't it? Kenny Callender had struggled with that. And what it does is it clearly articulates the organisation's regulatory approach to supervising greyhound racing in New South Wales. It outlines the regulatory purpose, the strategic priorities, the objective in relation to industry supervision. And the release of this strategy follows the restructure and the expansion of Greyhound Racing New South Wales compliance unit. Their investigation team now consists of former state and federal police detectives, and they are dedicated to investigating the more serious non-compliance and alleged misconduct to safeguard animal welfare and secure the industry integrity. Interim CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Paul Newson, was quoted as saying that Greyhound Racing New South Wales has engaged hardened investigators to assist in preventing the mistreatment of animals and ensure individuals involved in animal cruelty or other wrongdoing are held to account. I agree entirely with the strategy that they're bringing out with Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Obviously, it is in light of the Four Corners report, which came out, and that story actually is 1 year old next week. So it's been a very, very tumultuous 12 months in greyhound racing, and we've seen a number of reforms throughout the industry. We're going to continue to see a number of reforms coming into place, particularly in New South Wales, in light of the Special Commission of Inquiry. And I'm proud to say, or I'm pleased to say, that Paul Newson will be our special guest on the Catching Pen tomorrow night. I'll be going one-on-one with Paul Newson in an interview, which will run over a couple of segments. I've canvassed a lot of opinion from participants in greyhound racing in New South Wales and the questions they'd like to ask Paul. So tomorrow night on the Catching Pen, 6:30 p.m. on Sky Racing 2. Just very quickly, there were a number of rallies held in a few capital cities yesterday calling for an end to greyhound racing. And again, perpetuating myths is their key target in a number of ways. Reports coming out in a couple of the news outlets, you know, where it says that 94% of greyhounds that are bred each year are actually put down. Absolute furfies that all they do is they continue to bag the greyhound industry. They never actually go within to the industry and find out exactly what's going on. How they come up with these figures, Cozzy, absolutely defies belief. 94% of greyhounds, they say, are put down. Absolute crap. I can tell you that right now. And it's about time our statutory bodies, and this is one of the questions I'll be asking Paul Newson, when will one of the statutory bodies throughout Australia, whether it's Greyhound Racing New South Wales or Greyhounds Australasia, when will they come out and defend the greyhound industry in regards to the mistruths that these antis are spinning in regards to greyhound racing industry? Obviously, welfare of animals is absolute paramount now. But at some stage, someone has to come out and defend the greyhound industry and defend the good people in the greyhound industry for what they do. To say that 94% of animals that are bred each year are put down, seriously, it's just, it beggars belief.
Ridiculous.
It does, mate. And as I said, there's so many good people in the industry. They need to be protected. And we need someone to come out and actually right the wrongs that these antis get so much airtime with. As I said, I'm all for animal welfare. I'm against animal cruelty. I don't believe in it whatsoever. But at some stage, someone has to defend the good people in the industry. And as I said, I'll be asking Paul Newson about that on the Catching Pen tomorrow night.
All right, Duke. Good to catch up, mate. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy.